Hi guys, it's Rita with Happy Being Well. I have an exciting guest today, Lauren Patterson, and we're going to talk everything self-love. Now, Lauren has a really, really powerful story. Now, talk about, you know, getting to a point of really, truly loving yourself from a place that is really dark and, you know, just being so used to being abused and then having just being used to that abuse and tolerating that abuse and moving from that to a place of complete and utter self-love and to the, and then actually attracting and experiencing and having an unconditionally loving relationship as a result of her getting to a place of complete self-love, which starts by loving yourself, as we've all heard. And it's now become kind of like a cliche because it is true. This is true. This is not some catchphrase or just some trending topic. It's, you know, things become cliches for a reason because they're true. So I'm so, so excited to introduce my guest today, Lauren Patterson, and she is the author of Freeing Your Heart for Love. So Lauren, tell us, share with us, you know, your journey, you went from a really dark place. I've heard your story before. It's very powerful. You went from the, it was really just really just a really triumph. Like it's just like from where you were to where you are, it's like a huge, huge leap. And many people struggle with really truly loving themselves. And they haven't come from a horrific dark place, you know, maybe like some little minor traumas for some people, but they still struggle with learning and completely accepting and loving themselves. So share with us, you know, share with us your journey and what you did, the strategies on how you've loved yourself to get to where you are today.
Yeah, thank you, Rita. Thank you for having me, the opportunity to share my story, but really kind of, and you've heard my story a million times on Clubhouse, but it starts at a young age. So I was raised in a home without love. So I didn't know what love was pretty much my entire life. And I don't remember much of my childhood because both my parents were, my dad was physically abusive and my mom was mentally abusive. And they divorced at a young age. So I was back and forth living with my mom, sometimes with my dad, no balance, no structure, no love. And so at the age of 16, I had my first thoughts of suicide where I just didn't want to be on this planet. And I didn't know where all that was coming from. I was so young. I was living with my mom at the time and I couldn't go to her because she would just yell at me or, you know, it was just always about house chores and things that didn't matter. You know, like you couldn't talk about anything that was beneath the surface. So I just kept it to myself. And what I ended up doing was running away. So I ran away with a boyfriend and I thought, okay, I'm going to be happy. I'm going to run away for the summer. Then I'll go back home, finish school, and then move out with this guy because I would be graduated, senior. Well, when I went home after running away, that my mom's husband at the time, who didn't like her kids, convinced this guy to marry me because he didn't want me back home. Like my stepdad was happy I was gone for the summer. So to get rid of me permanently, he convinced this guy to marry me and my mom agreed. And so we all drove to Vegas to get married, just the four of us. Like, my siblings didn't come. My dad didn't come. Nobody came. It was just a courthouse in Vegas. And so I thought, okay, this is going to be my happy. I'm going to move out with this guy. You know, I get away from my mom. I get away from my stepdad who hates me and this toxic environment. But then I went into 9 more years of worse abuse than what I was in. And I was just operating out of fear. I had a baby right away, honeymoon baby, got pregnant right away, had my first son at 18. And within that time, you know, I was a young mom. I was trying to build my career. I was trying to like be a mother and a wife. And meanwhile, my husband was out cheating and lying and partying and drinking and you know, I was home to take care of my son. Then we just started fighting, and then I caught him cheating, and it was just this just toxic relationship. And he got, until one day he got arrested for drug trafficking. So that was really my moment to gain my strength, because he went to prison for 3 years. So I was able to like gain my strength to finally tell him, I'm going to divorce you. Like, this isn't working for me. But I had two amazing boys with him. So I knew that I would have to co-parent with him and everything. And so while he was in prison, he finally agreed to let me go. So that was a good moment. But I still was involved with unavailable men. So I thought, oh, good, I'm going to be free. This is going to be great. It's going to be happy. But then I just went into one relationship to another relationship, kept jumping, because I was still searching for that love that I didn't know I had in myself. So I was getting involved with unavailable men, just anybody that would pay attention to me, married men that said, I'm going to leave my wife for you. They never left their wife. Then that made me more depressed. So I just kept going into all these relationships until I met my second husband. And I was committed to him until he left me a note on the counter and said, I can't commit to you, and took off one morning without telling me he was breaking up with me. So then here we go again, right? Another heartbreak. You know, I can say I really cared about him. I don't know if I loved him yet at that point, but I really cared about him. And he was just another person that broke my heart. So he left, and I started dating again, because I was never the type of girl to stay alone. I always had to have a man, always. So I was always searching for the next guy instead of focusing on me and my kids, because I had two boys at that time. So I was dating some guy, and then he ended up coming back. And when he found out I was dating, he's like, you're not his girl, you're my girl, and asked me to marry him. And of course I was like flattered, you know, oh my gosh, I was always, you know, the type of girl that, oh, if some guy paid attention to me, you know, oh my gosh, this is so amazing. So I said yes to marrying him, even after we broke up, you know, and he left me not wanting to commit to me. He finally like woke up and said, I want to commit to you now. I want you as my wife. And I was like, okay, let's get married. So we got married, and it was a nice wedding. It really was. It was better than the first marriage. And then everything was great. And I got pregnant right away. Another honeymoon baby with my third son. And it was something that I really wanted to wait. So this is what caused our marriage problems. Not only did I bring all the trauma from my first marriage into my second, I didn't want to have kids right away. But he wanted kids, which is okay. You know, that's understandable. A man wants their own children. But it was like I wasn't part of that decision. And I got pregnant, of course, and he was excited and I wasn't, you know, so I'm like, gosh, we just got married, you know, because it takes time to like get used to being married. I wanted to at least wait a year. I had two boys from a previous marriage. So we had a baby, and it just caused a lot of stress. I got postpartum. I was still depressed. I was carrying a lot of that emotional trauma from the first into the second marriage. And we fought a lot about finances, because he always took commission jobs. So the commission jobs bugged the crap out of me, because I'm like, why am I carrying the family? I was carrying the family for insurance, and I was carrying the family with a regular income, because he only got paid on commission. So we fought a lot about that, which ended up me falling out of love. Like, I just couldn't deal with the fighting. But we had two boys with him. So four boys total. So here I was, you know, second marriage, second divorce. I wanted the divorce. He was crying. He didn't want the divorce, but I said, no, I don't love you anymore. Like, I really did not love him anymore. It was so much hatred towards him, because we fought so much that I was like, I just don't want to be in this marriage anymore. So we divorced. And what did I do? You know, I had a friend at the time that had these big breasts, and I was like, oh my God, I love her life. You know, I was always comparing myself to like other people. I was like, I want her life, because she was always partying and she got good guys to come see her and stuff. And I was like, I want her life. So I got breast augmentation as soon as we got divorced. And that spiraled me down into major depression, because not only did it hurt, but I didn't want them. And as soon as they put them in, I was in so much pain. I was like, I don't even want these. I wanted them out. But I just, you know, had a friend who was helping me out. She was like, let me take care of you. Let's start practicing positive affirmations. That's when I discovered positive affirmations. But then I met a guy who, another guy who just was trying to hide me because he was in this Indian culture where they couldn't be with women who were previously married on top of having children. It was like a bad taboo thing. So he hid me for a long time, Rita. Like, I don't even know why I agreed to it, but I was so attracted to him for some reason that I was like, I'm gonna allow this to happen. And that's when I almost took my life because we got in a big fight and he just didn't want to see me. And he's like, I can't introduce you to my family. And it was just this horrible argument that we had. And I hung up the phone that night and just almost took my life. I took the bottle of Percocet pills from the breast augmentation. I was going to take the whole bottle. But I heard something which scared me in my apartment. So I put them all back in the pill box, and next day I went to get therapy. And that's when I started seeking therapy and practicing Buddhism and really, really trying hard to get rid of that suicidal depression, because a therapist told me, if you take your life, you'll break your children. And I don't want broken children because I was a broken child. So I really started focusing on the suicide part, not the self-love, not even the self-love part. And I was in my 30s. I knew nothing about self-love, but I was really trying to change my mindset on getting rid of the suicide. So I finally got rid of that. And then I was in my 40s when I met my third husband, and I call him my rock bottom. So this is 29 years of my life that I've been in this vicious cycle of always giving my body, not valuing myself. You know, if I give them sex, they're going to love me. And so I met him, and he was actually the older brother of my first boyfriend from high school. And it was kind of awkward because, you know, the family was like, oh, wasn't she with the brother, you know? And he was like, I don't care. I like you. We're going to be together. We started dating, and then I moved in, and then the craziness started. His ex-wife was made our life hell, and he allowed it, and I allowed it, and a lot of fighting and breaking up and going back together and stuff. And one day, just sitting on the couch, asked me to marry him. And once again, flattered about a guy wanting to be with me, and agreed without a thought in my head. And I'm like, let's get married. Okay, let's get married. even though we had so many red flags, so many. And I want to say, like, a couple months after we married, that's when he had this fantasy that you know about, Rita, you know, the cuckolding, where he wanted me to have sex with men in front of him. And I was like, I didn't sign up for this. You know, where is this coming from? And I thought it was going to be a one-time thing. And here I was, the desperation was setting in. And I'm like, oh my gosh, if I don't do this for him, I'm going to have another divorce. And here I was, 4 kids, 2 divorces. If this is a third one, who's going to want me now? Who's going to want this broken person, right? All of that stuff in my head. So I did it one time, but then it started turning into a lifestyle. He was calling these guys to come over without me knowing. He was planning weekends and just all kinds of stuff that I didn't agree to. So after 6 months of that, I just couldn't do it anymore. I was like, I can't. I started going back to that suicide depression that I never was going to go back to for my kids. So I knew I had to get out. So I started finding an apartment. I actually packed up and left him a note while he was at work, which is not the right way, because that was done to me and I would never recommend that. But I didn't have the strength to tell him, because I knew that he would sweet talk me into staying. Because I was always the girl that would be like, oh, if he sweet talks me, if he says he's going to change, if he says he's not going to do this, not going to do that, I'm going to stay. So I knew the only way to get away was to leave while he was at work. And that was really tough. That was a lot of healing. So that's when my healing started. That was my transformation. That's when I started loving myself. I started seeing more therapists. I started really practicing the mindfulness, the Buddhist practice, everything that I could do to change my mindset and start loving myself. I started dating myself, going out to dinner by myself, which I never would do. I would go on small trips. I would buy myself things. I would get ice cream, go watch the sunset. Like, everything that I wanted in a partner, I was doing for myself. And so that's when I met my fourth husband, which you know about, is my happy ever after in my book. And we met in 2017, married in 2019, and I'm the happiest I've ever been. So I'm 40, I just turned 49, but it took me about 29 years, Rita, to figure it out. And the reason why I wrote this book is because I truly feel like with my story that other girls, hopefully younger, when I was at the age that I was at, which I am helping those younger girls, is that you don't have to do this to your body. You don't have to, you know, have no value, no self-worth. Like, you don't have to do that to be loved. And I just want to share, inspire, encourage, which is why I'm thankful you have me on your podcast, because the more you share, the more you help. And yeah, so that's pretty much my story in a nutshell.
That is a powerful, powerful story. I mean, oh my goodness, the stuff that you've been through. I mean, it's the stuff of movies, you know, stuff. And so, but we're going to take a quick break. We're going to listen to our sponsor and then we'll resume. And I'm going to go deep down and extract, you know, some of her most powerful strategies on how to love yourself when you hate yourself, right? So just a quick break, listen to our sponsor.
This podcast is sponsored by happybeingwell.com. Happybeingwell.com carries the best selection of natural products for your self-care pleasures, including high fashion, high comfort yoga leggings, crystals, sage, natural candles, natural soaps, natural face masks, and more. Go to happybeingwell.com to subscribe to our newsletter and get 10% off your purchase, including free shipping in the USA.
Okay, we're back. So, Lauren, so you mentioned you started dating yourself, which is amazing. I mean, there's been times with my, you know, in the past, you know, if in a previous relationship where I've been so angry and so mad that I would like, you know, go out and have dinner with myself. So, and I just remember it being so liberating, like not having to like rely on someone else to have that experience, you know, to go out and enjoy a fantastic meal that's being delivered to you, prepared by a chef, you know, and you don't have to, you know, it's a real treat. You don't have to do any work. You just get to sit down and you're literally being served and food that, you know, and cocktails, and you get to be at the patio and enjoy the ambiance of certain restaurants. It really is truly a treat. And that liberation that comes with, you know, just, you can do this yourself. You don't have to rely on another human to have that experience. I just found like when I would do that for myself, it was so liberating and so freeing and so empowering. Like you just feel more power to like, you know, I want to go to Costa Rica. I'm just going to go. I don't need, you know, that partner to do it or whatever. I think as women, you know, even today in today's day and age, I mean, we definitely have, you know, we've come a long way, like more women are doing this, but I mean, for the most part, I would say we're still kind of, feeling like, you know, we need that man to protect us, that support from a man, you know, to feel grounded, to feel like kind of more empowered to, whether it's achieving more success in their professional career, or whatever it is, they feel like a sense of security, when with a man, right? Because, you know, just due to all of the media conditioning that comes from, you know, being raised in a society with the movies and the TV shows and such, those indirect messages that we get. And let's face it, you know, biologically too, men are stronger than women. So, you know, there's a physical component to like, you know, feeling if we're in a public setting, if, you know, hell breaks out, you know, we know the man physically, you know, we can feel a little bit more protected, right? Just from a biological stance. So there are not only, you know, media messages being sent to us, there's a little bit of a biology there too from our ancestry, from, you know. So So what else did you do, I mean, to really build up that self-love and self-worth, you know? And was it like a struggle? Like, did you resist it? And how did you overcome that resistance?
That's a good question. Yes, it was not easy. So the way I describe my journey is just condensed, but there was a lot of things I didn't put in the book that I went through, you know, like the self-talk. And Rita, you talk about this a lot, but I had to constantly tell myself in the mirror, looking at myself, sometimes 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 times a day, I am loved, I am worthy, you deserve better, crying through all that, like, you know, wondering, am I going to be alone for the rest of my life? The back and forth thoughts of, I am loved, but nobody was going to want me. Oh my God, all my baggage, you know, that back and forth talk. And I just had to like write it down, keep telling my, like that self-talk of like, no, Lauren, you do deserve it. You're going to find somebody, you know? And it's like, it's kind of crazy. It'll drive you crazy if you don't stay to one path, you know, like instead of going to this back and forth thing. And therapy helped me a lot with that, along with the affirmations. I mean, I would just wake up every day. I still do it and read positive quotes and everything and anything to just condition my mind that life is not that bad. Also thinking about the roof over my head, right? The job that I have, like life could be worse. I could have no arms. I could have no legs. I have my sight, you know, I could have no sight. I could be homeless, you know? And when you start thinking about all that, it really does put everything into perspective that, okay, so I'm sad. Okay, so my heart is broken, but that's going to heal. You know, there's worse things out there. There's people starving. And so all of that, I just used all of that and just kind of kept conditioning my mind over and over again. And like I said, the Buddhist practice and connecting with people in the Buddhism industry, you know, practice and other members and just people that were supporting me. A lot of my friends I had to not talk to anymore because they were in that lifestyle that I didn't want. I really had to let go of my family. That's when I started like not talking to my mom and dad. And it was just all the toxic in my life. I just had to let it go, which is why I moved to that beach town. And it's all in my book. I knew nobody. Everybody thought I was crazy. What are you doing? You don't know anybody there. You don't have any friends. I said, I don't care. Like, I just need to get out of here. I need to go heal. The ocean always healed me. So I would go to the ocean, even when I didn't live next to the ocean, just drive there just to watch the sunset, because that always made me happy. So I knew that I was going to heal there. I knew it. And it was a perfect apartment. It truly was, Rita. It was like a block from the beach. And I went to the beach every day. And that, I don't know if you know that song, Jar of Hearts by Christina Perry. I used to play that a lot. but it really is, if you listen to the lyrics, that was my relationships. Like that was my third marriage. He just had this jar and collecting hearts, you know, like all these toxic relationships I was in. I allowed myself to be in it, of course, but I just chose not to live my life like that anymore, because I truly believe those are lessons, you know, now at this age and after writing my book. But back then when I was going through it, I would blame them, you know, like why me? Why am I going through this? I have such a big heart. Why don't these guys love me? I've done everything for them. I've like bared my soul, especially for the third husband, and he still doesn't love me. And with the third husband, it became this competition thing, you know, like with his ex-wife. I was like, why am I competing with her? If she wants him, you know, just go ahead, have him, you know? But I really had to like believe that there's somebody out there for me that, you know, and so what if there isn't? I'm going to be okay with that too. So I was truly okay with being alone. That was the biggest thing too, was being by myself, because I always had to have a guy in my life. Always. I could never be alone. It just was so uncomfortable. And so I got over that, and it was just, now I'm on this like different journey, you know, like I started meditating and I'm connecting, you know, into the spiritual angelic realm and just kind of that type of energy that I want in my life. And I'm learning about energy and everything in your wheelhouse, Rita, which is why me and you connect so on so many levels. But that's the path I'm on now. And I don't get upset anymore. You know, like if somebody upsets me, I just send them love now. It truly is like this internal healing that I've done. And gosh, it's just amazing. I'm just, it's hard to explain. I know you understand because you know all of this stuff, but yeah, I don't know. I hope that answers your question.
Oh my God, did it ever answer my question? Yeah, totally. And and for, you know, audience members, if you already got into that place of forgiving your abusers and literally understanding that actually they're more hurt than the hurt that they've given to you. You do really truly like kind of sympathize with that because you've gone through the process yourself of healing. And you may have hurt other people as you were hurting yourself, because, you know, due to being triggered from the abuse that you had sustained, that your mind is now molded into this toxic way of perceiving certain actions and behaviors just due to, you know, like literally being tainted by, you know, the abusive actions that was done to you. So you just start to like live from a place of anticipation of further abuse because you're constantly, you know, so used to receiving it. So you automatically think that whenever someone maybe said something or did something that necessarily did not have the intention to offend you, or give you maybe like an indirect offense. It was just maybe they, you know, they just literally were coming from a natural, they were saying a statement that was natural to them without that intention. And you may, you know, that's all a result of complex post-traumatic stress disorder, you know, because you're just being triggered because you're so used to having that psychological abuse being done on you. It's just an automatic reflex. So when you now have that understanding after healing your trauma mind, you then can understand the mind of your abuser more and the demons that live within them. And
yeah, I mean, I still have triggers. I'm not perfect. Like last night we went on the cocktail cruise, me and my husband that you know about, and there was this girl and she was pretty. She had on a nice dress and I saw his eyes look at her, right? And instantly I'm like, I'm sorry that I don't wear that. Like I instantly got upset. I'm like, I'm sorry. I'm wearing jeans and a shirt, you know, and I don't dress that way. And I was like, what am I doing? You know, but I was legit like upset and I was going to cry even because I'm like, why is he looking at? I said, I know you're going to look, but don't do it in front of me. So it's still like these triggers, even after I've healed, I still get triggers. I still do, but I'm able to like flip it fast and be like, what are you doing? No, Lauren, this isn't your past. So, yeah.
And that's a result of healing. You're now more aware of how your brain is, your neural pathways, how they're associating to get to those thoughts. Now you're aware of it so you can stop it and then reframe it to truth, like absolute truth. So you're able to live in truth as opposed to live in, you know, illusions, you know, based off of fear, like these illusions of fear based thinking, that's just not true. And it only creates chaos and fighting. And it's just, yeah, it's fear creates chaos. Yeah, bottom line. And so yeah, that's, I'm glad you said that, because, you know, it's still an ongoing process until you really get to it's a muscle that you're strengthening. And so you really get to the point of getting used to thinking in truth. And then it becomes more automatic.
Yeah, so, for sure.
Awesome. Love it. So I am so glad that you came and you shared with our audience. And we further dive deep into your powerful story. My goodness. I mean, what you went through. I mean, oh my goodness. I wouldn't wish that upon my, you know, anyone. But you know, you made the choice to commit to healing and self-love, and you went on that journey and you instilled those strategies to achieve self-love through self-care. And then you've increased your vibration of love and you attracted your loving husband. And she's got beautiful pictures of her and her husband, you know, lovely, lovely, loving pictures on her Instagram page. And where, and what is your Instagram page?
It's at writing is my kismet, K-I-S-M-E-T.
Okay, perfect. So, you know, if you are on a self-love, self-care journey, and you are where Lauren was at, and you're trying to get out of an abusive relationship, or if you've gotten out of an abusive relationship, and now you're struggling with self-love, and you keep meeting the same type of abusive men, listen, you know, I encourage you to listen to this over and over again, so that you believe that it's possible to heal and love yourself and continue with the strategies to learn and reprogram yourself to love yourself and get used to the feelings that come with that. And therefore you will eventually attract a loving, healthy relationship like Lauren has. And she's got proof of that on her IG page with, they're so cute. They're so, they're like hugging and like kissing. And it's just,
we danced our butts off last night. Oh my gosh. It was, there was music on the yacht too. So we danced like all night. That's why I think I'm tired.
So thank you so much, Lauren. And for all of you out there, it is possible. It is true. You can attract a loving partner once you learn to love yourself. Thank you again, Lauren, for being here and sharing your message and empowering other women on this planet. So namaste, sending light, love, and blessings. Enjoy the rest of your week.
Love you.
Love you.